الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما زال جبريل يوصيني بالجار حتى ظننت أنه سيورثه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers, elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has once again blessed us with this wonderful, magnificent and beautiful day of Jumu'ah. We remind ourselves of the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِ شَمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ. The best day in which the sun can rise is the day of Jumu'ah. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill within our hearts the respect and honor of this wonderful day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to send abundant durood upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a daily basis, but more so on this day of Jumu'ah. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah grant us all the ability to take benefit of this day of Jumu'ah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept a moment of acceptance of dua on this Friday. And many of the scholars are of the opinion that that moment of acceptance is the last few moments of the day of Jumu'ah. We should capitalize on this opportunity, come a little early to the masjid or engage ourselves in dua, pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and keeping in mind that this is the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah accept our du'as and our supplications. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created many individuals around us that serve us on a daily basis, people that we interact with. Our nature as human beings is such that we have to interact with one another. We will encounter problems, we will enjoy happiness, but by nature we have to interact with one another. That is the nature of a human being. Unlike other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, when we look in the animal kingdom, you will find certain animals Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them in such a way that their nature is that they like to be secluded. The mere presence of any other person or any other human being or any other animal immediately poses a threat and a danger to them. Why? Because their nature is not such that they interact with one another and they have an association with people or other animals around them. But as human beings, Allah has created various individuals around us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stipulated the rights of all those individuals that we interact with. Now, it's very sad that if we look at the current situation that we face, every man is always concerned and worried about what rights are due to him. Every man is fighting that his rights be fulfilled. But how many a man and an individual looks within himself and asks himself the question that, am I as an individual fulfilling the rights of those people that are around me? Am I truly giving every individual his rights that are due to him? As Muslims, just the mere fact that we are Muslims, every other Muslim around us has certain rights over us, certain things we have to fulfill. So are we fulfilling those obligations, and do we truly fulfill the rights of all those around us? And if every man just has to bring this sort of mindset within himself and within his life, then automatically by you fulfilling the rights of other individuals, first and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see to it that your rights are fulfilled and that your needs are seen to. Because the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very clearly states, مَنْ كَانَ فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي حَاجَتِهِ. That person who is in the service of his brother, that person who is fulfilling the needs of his brother, not his blood brother, but his Muslim brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see to it that his rights and his needs are fulfilled. You fulfill any right of your brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it upon himself that your rights will be fulfilled and your rights will be seen to. But there's a group of individuals that as Muslims we have to interact with, and this group of individuals is such that our mere interaction and association with them is something very, very important to us as Muslims. Our interaction and our association with this particular group of individuals is actually a yardstick for the level of iman that's in our hearts. Our association with this group of individuals is such that depending on how good our relationship and our association is with them, that also depends on how close we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we falter in our association with this particular group of individuals, then we face very, very serious consequences as Muslims. These individuals play a major role in our life on a daily basis. And this special group of individuals that we're going to discuss today is none other than our neighbors and those individuals who live near us, those who live next to us in our homes. Firstly, our homes, what a great ni'mah and a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the man that lives next door is also a ni'mah and a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if we study our wonderful and beautiful deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, we will find that everything has been outlined to us to absolute perfection. Everything, every fine detail has been taught to us by the beautiful sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So firstly, we should take it upon ourselves to really study the basic things of our deen, the basic principles in which all human rights have been covered to the best of its ability. All human rights have been covered to absolute perfection. There's nothing absolutely that is lacking in our deen when it comes to our interaction with those around us. Absolute perfection. If a person just takes the time to equip himself with the basic teachings of his deen and implement it in his life, then to a great extent this man has perfected his interaction with mankind just by him putting into practice what basic things we are taught in our deen. Now, to outline first and foremost, the scholars explain that in general you will have one of three types of neighbors. Number one, the first type of neighbor that you might have as an individual is a person who lives next door to you but he is not a Muslim. Now imagine how important neighbors are in our deen, that Islam has made no segregation whatsoever with regards to the religion of your neighbor, with regards to the school of thought of your neighbor, with regards to the cultural background of your neighbor, in regards to you fulfilling his rights. There's no segregation whatsoever. So the fact that a person lives next door to you, even if he's a non-Muslim, he enjoys many rights over you which you have to fulfill as a Muslim. The second very basic type of neighbor that most of us might have is that individual who lives next door to you but is also a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To him, he enjoys double rights over you. One is the rights of a neighbor, and the other the fact that he's a Muslim and a reciter of the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. He enjoys another right over you. And as I mentioned in the beginning, and we repeat the statement, every Muslim enjoys certain rights over his next Muslim brother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us and grant us the ability to adequately fulfill everybody's rights for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keeping in mind that this was the advice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he enjoys double rights. And then the third type of neighbor that you might have, and very fortunate is the man who has this type of neighbor, is that person who lives next door to you, that person who is a Muslim, and at the same time, over and above that, he is your relative and your family member. This individual enjoys three rights over you: the right of being a neighbor, the right of being your Muslim brother, and the right of being your family member, being part of your family. He enjoys three rights over you. Now imagine how much more good you're going to be to him, and how much more rights he has over you, the fact that he has all three of this within him. He's your neighbor, he's a Muslim, and he's your family member. And as I said, glad tidings to the one who has that type of neighbor. But these are basically the three types of neighbors that we have. Our neighbors play such an important role in our lives as Muslims that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma zala Jibreel yusini bil jar. Jibreel Alayhi Salam has come so often to remind me about the rights of neighbors, and he has come so often to remind me about how much we owe to our neighbors. Hatta dhanantu annahu sayuwarrithu, that I think very soon he might even come with the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, telling me and stipulating the fact that your neighbor will even become part of your inheritance. He will inherit from you. Now, who inherits from us? Only these people, who are those individuals who are connected to us via the family circle. Those individuals who are our blood relations. That's the strongest of relations and bonds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Now imagine, in general, if you study the history of a human being and you look at the family circle, then they say that that is the strongest bond that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Blood ties. You are linked by blood. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But today, that strong link, when we look at the problems in society, we don't know whether it's become diluted or what has happened to that strong link by blood. So even there, there's problems. But in general, the strongest link that Allah has created is the blood relation. Now, yeah, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that Jibreel has come so often to remind me about the rights of neighbors, that I think very soon he's going to come and tell me that this neighbor will even form part of your inheritance. But that never really happened and materialized. But that's just to show how important our neighbors are to us, and how much we owe our neighbors. Now, every one of us, we might be living in a flat, we might be living in a house, and we live in much more built up areas than in other parts of the world and other areas, more specifically farms and those areas. So we have individuals living next door to us. When was the last time we paid attention to the man living next door to us? When was the last time we took a moment to sit back and ponder that man is my neighbor, he enjoys so many rights over me, am I fulfilling his rights? What type of a neighbor am I to the man living next door to me? And when we study our deen, Hassan Basri rahimahullah, he explains that who is your neighbor? Is it the one living on your left? Is it the one living on your right? Is it the one living in front of you? Is it the person living behind you? Who constitutes your neighbor? Who is considered as your neighbor? First and foremost, the one that lives immediately, the first house to your right, the first house to your left, the first house in front of you, and the first house behind you. These four are your neighbors that you start off with. But it doesn't end there. Hassan Basri rahimahullah says, 40 houses to your right, 40 houses to your left, 40 houses in front of you, and 40 homes behind you. These are considered as your neighbors. That's your neighborhood. Now imagine, sometimes we never even look at the man next door to us. Where are we going to worry about who's number 39? Sometimes we don't even know who's living across us. And when it comes to the one living behind us, the wall is so high that we don't even care. We haven't even seen him. But that man is your neighbor, and he enjoys rights over you, by the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have to interact with him as a Muslim. You have to have a good association with him as a Muslim. These are very, very important rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stipulated. And we have to be fulfilling these rights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability. So very briefly, we'll go through some of the points and some of the rights that our neighbors enjoy over us, and that we have to be fulfilling as Muslims. Number one, if a person is your neighbor, then you got to make it a habit of once in a while paying the man a visit. Visit the man only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, irrespective of whether the man is a Muslim or non-Muslim. Sometimes we tend to have that segregation. But if we look at it, we live in a multicultural society. As a Muslim, the greatest opportunity that we enjoy on a daily basis is to make the best display of Islam to the people that we interact with on a daily basis. That's the best tool that we have to showcase Islam in the best of manners. Everybody wants Islam to be glorified around the world. Everybody wants the Western world to know the goodness of a Muslim with regards to the negative propaganda that's circulated every now and then. So we feel the pain within our heart. We feel sad that what can we do to change this? Very simple. It starts with every one of us in our daily conduct with the people around us. Conduct yourself the way you're supposed to be as a Muslim, and automatically you are showcasing the truest and best form of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability. So we should take the opportunity now and then to visit our neighbor, and even if we haven't done so in all the years that we live in our localities and in our neighborhoods, it's never too late to make a start in life. Never ever too late. As long as you're living, as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you time, Allah has given you life, and that heart is beating, you have the opportunity to do whatever you want. It all depends on whether you're prepared to take the first step and whether you're prepared to put yourself forward. So irrespective of the fact that you never visit the man for many, many years, and sometimes you don't even know properly who is your neighbor, it's never too late to make the start. Go and visit the man. Tell him that I'm your neighbor. Firstly, I'd like to apologize if I haven't visited you for so long. We're all busy, we all get caught up. But I've come to just pay to you the dues that are stipulated by my deen. I've come to pay you your dues. I've come to show you that I'm a good neighbor. I've come to interact with you. Tell the man that, more so if he's a non-Muslim. If he's a Muslim, tell him, brother, I've come now to fulfill both your rights. Firstly, you're my Muslim brother. Second, and the other thing is that you're my neighbor. I need to be good to you. I need to showcase to you the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with. So take the opportunity of visiting the man. That's something that is very, very important. One is, if it's a Muslim, you're visiting him for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a separate reward for that. But the fact that he's your neighbor and you're visiting him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely reward you accordingly. The other general right that a neighbor enjoys over you is that in the event of him passing away or leaving this world, then you need to attend his funeral. But here, we will make the pause and we will further explain that when it comes to a non-Muslim neighbor and he's passing away, then there we got to be very careful, because we cannot be present when all the various rituals are taking place of other sects. We got to be careful, we got to excuse ourselves then. But still also, that's the right, that you be there for the man, for his family in their time of need and their time of difficulty. And if it's a Muslim, you have to be there. To attend the janazah of a general Muslim brother is so much of reward in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much more will it be if the man is your neighbor and now he has left this world? You definitely need to be there more for his family, and you need to attend his funeral. The other thing is that with regards to our neighbors, number three, we need to conceal the faults of our neighbors. Now, because we live in so close to each other, sometimes it's a flat, it's just one wall that's separating us. Sometimes it's a fence that's separating us. So generally, the fact that we live in so close, you might see sometimes something that you're not supposed to be seeing. You might hear something sometimes that you're not supposed to be hearing. You need to conceal the faults of your neighbor. Today, the mere fact that we get to know something bad about someone, we feel it as, hey man, I got all the information, ask me. We take it as a source of pride that I know what nobody else knows. Cover the faults of your normal Muslim brother. Allah says, "Man satara Musliman fi dunya satarahu Allahu yawm al-qiyamah." The one who conceals the faults of his Muslim brother in this world, Allah will conceal his faults on the day of Qiyamah. Today we feel proud that we exposing the man's fault. We giving everybody else the information. What's going to happen on the day of Qiyamah when our faults are presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let's think for a moment, if on that day our faults are opened up to mankind, what will be our condition? We have the opportunity to cover the man's fault in this world. Allah will cover your fault on the day of Qiyamah. But more so with regards to your neighbor, we need to conceal his faults. The fourth thing that our neighbors enjoy over us is that if something good befalls your neighbor, you need to congratulate the man. You need to be happy for him. The man is your neighbor. He lives next door to you. But one person said, he said that how many a man grows lean and thin, not because he's on the Atkins diet or he's following a low-carb diet. He grows lean and thin just by looking at the success of his neighbor. How many are envious or jealous man grows lean just at looking at the success of his neighbor? But you need to be happy for the man. You're watching him prosper. Today you're living opposite the man and you see that when you both moved there, his home was just as simple as yours. Everyone was on the same level. And now suddenly a few years down the line, you see the man is doing a wonderful extensive renovation. Now you sit back and think, sure, what he's doing, I need to know. I need to do the same thing, man. How he managed to eat right? Where he scored? The man pulls out a new car, you'll sit back and think, sure, where he got the money from, man? I need to get one the same. Be happy for the man. Show the man your happiness, that brother, I'm happy for you. A prerequisite of our iman, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi." If only we can grasp the true understanding of these words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a person's iman can never be complete till he loves for his Muslim brother what he loves for himself. What's the system of the world today? Nobody must have what I have. Nobody must reach the heights that I've reached in life. Nobody must be in my level. I need to be above everybody else. What does this hadith say? Your iman can never be perfected till you love for the man exactly what you love for yourself. You seen the man prosper, be happy, be proud, make dua, Allah give him more. Go and congratulate the man. Don't sit back and wonder where, what he did to get that. Or how can you do the same to get it? Ask Allah, Allah will give you. But go to the man and congratulate him. Tell him, I'm so happy to see your success. May Allah give you more. The person's child gets wonderful results. You hear about it. It's not that, how come my child never passed? How come his child did so well? Go and congratulate the man. Be happy for him. That's his right as a neighbor. And then the opposite of that, the next right that he enjoys over us, is if the man is going through some difficulty, then you need to be there to give a shoulder of support to that man. He's been through some difficulty, some mishap, some calamity has befallen him. Allah forbid somebody broke into his house, or something happened to his car, something happened to his property. Go and show the man a shoulder of support. Tell him, brother, I'm here with you, I feel your pain. Let it not be that we ever rejoice upon the mishap or the downfall of somebody else. Because we don't know what the future holds. It's so unstable. How many a man was climbing the ladder of success 20 years ago and he was as high as he could possibly imagine. But today it's a different story. How many of us 20 or 25 years ago we had humble beginnings. We never dreamt that we have reached the heights that we reach in today. It's a constantly changing situation that is only and solely in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when a man is going through difficulty, especially if he's your neighbor, go there and show him a shoulder of support as a Muslim. Tell him, yeah, can I assist you in any way? Today we'll be scared to make this, we'll be scared to put the request forward. What if the man says yes and he really wants my help? So it's not something that's lip service. You gotta help him as your neighbor in whatever simple way that you can. If the man requires some financial assistance according to your capability, the man is your neighbor. You need to help him as a Muslim according to your capacity. If you don't have, you don't have. But in whatever way you can, help him solely for the fact that the man is your neighbor and your deen has stipulated so many rights that the man has over you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability. And then with regards to the other various hadiths that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned with regards to neighbors, this is a very, very important issue in our deen. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, just to slightly digress, the words of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that there was a time in our lives that nothing was more beloved to us than the opportunity that we had to spend our wealth on our Muslim brothers. لَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا عَلَيْنَا زَمَانٌ. There was a time that came over us when there was nothing more beloved to us than for us to spend on our Muslim brothers for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then he said, وَالْآنْ الدِّينَارُ وَالدِّرْحَمُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْنَا مِنْ أَخِينَا. But today we have reached such a situation that our profound love for wealth supersedes the love of everybody else. That we love our wealth more than we love our Muslim brothers. But he says there was a time that passed over us where there was nothing more beloved for us than for us to take that wealth and spend it on our Muslim brothers. But today the love for the wealth has become so much that we don't even think of parting from that and giving it to our Muslim brother. Imagine at what time he said it and what times we're living in now. How much more worse the time has become. How much more we have retrogressed. Imagine how bad the situation is now. And then he says with regards to neighbors, he says, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ. I heard Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, كَمْ مِنْ جَارٍ مُتَعَلِّقٌ بِجَارِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. How many a man will be hanging onto his neighbor on the day of Qiyamah in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will say, يَا رَبِّ هَذَا أَغْلَقَ بَابَهُ دُونِي. And the neighbor will complain before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will say that, oh Allah, this man shut his door from me. That means this man deprived me of his goodness. He deprived me of the rights of me being his neighbor. He paid no attention whatsoever to me. Now this is a serious thing that we need to think about. We have people living around us. What is our association with them? What is our relationship with them? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, whoever believes in Allah on the day of Qiyamah, let him be good to his neighbor, let him honor his neighbor, let him fulfill the rights of a neighbor. What a wonderful gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For you to watch the success of your neighbor, it's supposed to be sweet and good for you. It's supposed to be something that pleases you. And if that man is going through difficulty, it's something that's supposed to be difficult for you to bear. The man is so close to me, he lives right next door to me. I can't bear to see him in any difficulty. But what is my relationship with him? How often do I greet him? How often do I visit him? Doesn't have to be very, very often, but there should be that interaction. There should be that association. Sometimes a man is living next to us for 10 years, for 15 years. We don't know when was the last time we made salam to him. Sometimes a man is living next door to us for 20 years. Instead of being good to him, sometimes we cause him difficulty to him. This is such a serious thing. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's nature in general was such that he always overlooked the weaknesses of people, and he would always try and rectify it in the simplest of manner without exposing the man. But when it comes to the neighbors, this is such an important issue in our deen. A person came and complained to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the harm that his neighbor was causing to him. Endless grief. He was patient, he overlooked, but eventually he couldn't take it anymore. He comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, you know, this man is making my life a misery. I don't know what to do. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go home wa akhrij mata'aka ila tariq. Take everything out of your house, put it on the street. Go empty your home on the street. So the man goes and he follows the command of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He empties his whole house, he puts it on the street, and he sits over there on the street, what we would term as the pavement. Now everybody walks past, they ask him, brother, what's happening? You're moving out of your house. Why is everything outside? He says, no man, you see that neighbor is making my life a misery. I don't know what to do. I can't stay here anymore. He's troubling me to such an extent. I went to complain to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the advice that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me. He said, take everything, put it outside. Sit outside with all your stuff. So now people, you know, we love it now when there's a story. I mean, you know, they say, what a man that is, man. Sis, how can he do that to you? What type of a person he must be. Now people are cursing that man, they going to town. We love it when that happens. You know, you get some information. Hey, how can he do that to you? Sure, lucky I'm not staying next door to him. So everybody is giving their comments. Now the neighbor obviously is by his window. He is watching what's happening. Now he can't take it anymore. Eventually he comes out, he tells the man, he says, listen brother, let me help you take everything and put it back. I take a qasam by Allah, I will never ever harm you till the day I leave this world. Let's go inside and sort it out. You're really, really messing up my whole reputation now. I'm very sorry. I apologize. I'll do the best that I can to be good to you. But please, let's move everything back inside. Let's talk inside the house. That's how serious it is. Now, can we just take a moment to pause? Imagine if this advice is implemented in today's times. How many a man will really be sitting on the street with all his goods because of the harm of his neighbor, because of the disturbance of his neighbor? This is a very, very serious thing we need to take note of. Let's examine our relationships with our neighbors. Let's begin a relationship with our neighbor on a good note. Let's capitalize on this opportunity. We good to him, that's a sign of our iman. We good to him, that's a sign that we love Allah and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We good to him, that's a sign that inshallah we will enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man la ya'manu jarahu bawa'iqahu la yadkhulu al-jannah." That person whose neighbor is not safe from his harm, he will not enter Jannah. He cannot enter Jannah. If he's harming his neighbor and he's a nuisance to his neighbor, then he will not enter Jannah. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam will end off with this. He gave Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, a great companion of his, wonderful advice. And this is the most simplest thing that every one of us can implement in our lives. And we should make an intention that inshallah we will implement it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, Ya Aba Dharrin, إِذَا تَبَخْتَ طَعَامًا. If you are cooking food at home, فَأَكْثِرْ مَاءَكَ. Right, you're cooking a curry at home. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's advice is put a little more water in that curry. That means make it a little bit more and send some to your neighbor. You're cooking food in your home, put a little bit more, put an extra cup of rice. Make it a little bit more, send a portion to your neighbor. That's his right as a Muslim. That's the advice I'm giving you, O Abu Dharr. Send it to him. Now sometimes we might say, the man is a non-Muslim, why should I send him food? Look within the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar radiallahu anhu, one day his slave prepared a wonderful feast. A braai was prepared. So the meat was roasted, a calf was roasted. So before the food was presented to him, he said, tell me, did you send some of this to my neighbor? So the servant looks at him and says, but he's a Jew. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, irrespective of whether the man is a Jew or whatever he is, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I cannot be a true believer until I am good to my neighbor. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person cannot be a true believer if he eats and his neighbor is hungry. Send the food to him before I eat. Send a portion of the food. When was the last time we sent a little bit of food to our neighbor? Not because he's short of food. We're not living in those times where our neighbor is starving. Today everybody's freezers are full, everybody's table is full, but for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, send some of that food next door and see the difference that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make in your life. See the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will come to you. It's the weekend, you're ordering pizzas, order one extra, send to your neighbor. Now sometimes a man might be a bit shocked, he might be surprised that, you know, what happened here? He might be double-minded, should I eat the food, shouldn't I eat the food? Don't worry about those things. And if your neighbor sends to you, be happy, be proud that he initiated the sunnah before you. But then you ought to follow suit. Send something next door to the neighbor. Sometimes it's a braai in your backyard. The smoke is pouring into the man's yard. He's smelling the chops, he's smelling the sausages. The thought doesn't cross the mind, let me send one to my neighbor. It's not that he's short of food, but naturally, you know, you drive past, you know what's cooking in somebody's house. You know when the biryani is on the stove, you know when the braai is on the fire. It's a natural instinct within us. You smell it, you know what's happening. Send something to him for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. See the barakah that will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes it's the weekend, you're ordering a pizza or you're ordering food. Order one extra, send it to your neighbor for the pleasure of Allah. Now we're not saying it's necessary for you to feed all 40. That might be a bit difficult. But start with those immediately next door to you. Start with the man next door to you. Start with the one to your right. Move on to the one on your left. What about the person living in front of you? But what about the man living behind you? Sometimes we don't have an idea, even if there is someone living behind us. But we need to keep in touch with our neighbors. Send some food to them for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us build on this relationship with our neighbors, and we'll definitely see an increase in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a testimony, our good behavior to our neighbors is a testimony of our love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a testimony of our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a means of us gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a means of us securing Jannah, which is our ultimate goal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a reality for every one of us. And again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from ever being a difficult neighbor to the person who lives next door to us. Start these relationships, build on it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us. Now let's just look at it very, very simply. Each one of us can understand. If you start with the man next door to you and you show him the true right and haqq of a neighbor, you fulfill it to the best of your ability, he in turn carries it over to the one next door to him, and the one next, and he, it further carries on down the road. So imagine it started from you, it moved to the person next door to you, it's moving all sides of you. What a wonderful street that would become. And from there, if it grows further, what a wonderful suburb that will come. If it grows further than that, what a wonderful town that will be. If it grows further than that, what a wonderful province that will flourish into. I mean, it starts with us. As they say that we always talk the talk, but we need to start walking our talk. That's what we need to do as Muslims. And when we start walking our talk, we will see our walk do the talking. When we start walking our talk, we'll see our walk do the talking, because we'll definitely see the effects of our behavior. We'll see it flourish from person to person, and definitely there'll be a major difference in society. So as everybody is reminding us of human rights, today we have reminded ourselves of our neighbor's rights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.